Dear audience, welcome to the Conscious Wellness Show. I am Raymond Morris, your host. On today's show, we are honored to have an important guest, Michael Edson. He's a state-licensed acupuncturist, author, and researcher. The topic of this interview will be about natural research ways to treat Parkinson's disease and supporting brain health through diet, exercise, targeted supplements, Chinese medicine, essential oil, and much more. Michael is the co-founder and president of Natural Eye Care Incorporated. He's a New York State licensed acupuncturist and co-author of Natural Eye Care, a comprehensive manual for practitioners of Oriental medicine and natural eye care, your guide to healthy vision and healing. In 2018, it was published. His latest book is Natural Parkinson's Support, your guide to preventing and managing Parkinson's. His upcoming book will be Natural Brain Support, Ways to Help Prevent and Treat Dementia, Alzheimer's Naturally, will be published in 2020. His hobbies include the practice of Qigong, traveling, hiking, tennis, golf, movies, reading, and chess. Welcome to the show, Michael.
Thank you.
So what got you interested in writing this book?
Well, I have been interested in brain issues for a long time. I have relatives that have gone through Alzheimer's and dementia, which is why the next book is coming out. My wife's grandfather passed away from Parkinson's, so that's also been an interest of mine. And when we wrote the last book in 2019, The Natural Eye Care, Your Guide to Healthy Vision and Healing, which is an 800-page book covering over 2,000 peer-reviewed research citations on nutrients and vision. What was really interesting was that how many times that the Parkinson's and Alzheimer's came up on the nutrients that support the retina, that they actually cross the blood-brain barrier and have a broad range of healing properties to them and essential properties for keeping the brain healthy. And so the book itself has over 640 peer-reviewed citations on these different nutrients in terms of ways they help keep the brain healthy and how they relate to Parkinson's disease. So what I did was I compiled the book, I compiled the research, and I broke up the information into, because a lot of these nutrients cover a broad spectrum of number of things they do in the brain. And so what I did is I created a chart. And the chart has 15 different categories. And I mapped out all the nutrients. So the categories range from nutrients that reduce the symptoms, the tremors, and the motor coordination symptoms for Parkinson's, the ones that can improve daily functioning, mental health, cognitive functioning, ones that can reduce depression, anxiety, sleep disorders associated with the disease, as well as blood-brain barrier, reducing inflammation, mitochondrial support. We can talk about that as well as the blood-brain barrier and how important that is. So it's 15 different categories because it's complicated because they all carry different benefits, and some like curcumin do everything. They cover all 15 categories, or DHA, which is part of the omega-3 fatty acids, or ashwagandha. So we can go into those, and glutathione, which is phenomenally important. Maybe I should mention that because that's probably one of the most important nutrients in the brain. It's the one that is found in the greatest quantity in the brain. And glutathione is called the anti-aging antioxidant because it's one of the few nutrients or antioxidants that completely neutralize the full spectrum of free radicals. So in other words, vitamin C and the nutrients, anthocyanins that are in fruits and vegetables and different minerals, they will neutralize certain free radicals. Glutathione and superoxide dismutase are the two that cover the full spectrum. Now,
can I ask you a quick question? Glutathione produced also by the body, or has to be taken?
It is, actually. It's produced, yeah. It's not. It doesn't absorb well through the digestive system, although taken intravenously, and we'll talk about that as part of a treatment later as well, or taken sublingually is much better. But glycine, glutamine, and cysteine are three amino acids, and also vitamin C, selenium, alpha-lipoic acid, for instance. The liver will produce glutathione and send it throughout the rest of the body and to the brain.
Is there any foods that contain glutathione?
They are in low quantities, but really it's best to take them like foods that like protein, whether it's through fish or meat or eggs or nuts, though they contain a lot of the amino acids we talk about that help the body make up more glutathione.
It's more about taking foods that help the body make
glutathione, right? Unless you're taking it also additionally as a in a form that's absorbable orally.
Okay. And what's your healthcare background?
I am a licensed acupuncturist since 2001. I'm a certified herbalist, and I've been running president of Natural Eye Care. So all the books we have been written over the years, I have been doing a lot of the research behind it. So I built up a pretty strong background on nutrition and vision in addition to the herbal background I have as well in Chinese medicine.
What is Parkinson's disease?
Parkinson's disease, to summarize it, is a lack of dopamine in the body. And dopamine is critical for cognitive functioning, executive functioning, being able to function day to day, mental health, as well as motor coordination in the body. And it's basically the simplest aspect of it is that we have there's something called alpha-synuclein in the brain, and it's primarily in the substantia nigra part of the brain, and that's what gets mostly affected, along with the locus coeruleus, and we'll talk about that as well. But the substantia nigra, or the alpha-synuclein, when in normal doses and amounts, supports the neurotransmission, which is the synapses, that how the body communicates from brain cell to brain cell and to the rest of the body. It also has to do with brain plasticity, keeping brain flexible. So it has many functions. But what happens is that there's a point at which the alpha-synuclein, for different reasons, aggregates and misfolds and ends up forming what's called lewd bodies. And they actually destroy dopaminergic cells, neurons, in the brain that are part of the responsibility for producing dopamine in the body and the brain, particularly. So that's the simplest form of it. So when Western medicine treats it, they're looking primarily how to get the body to produce more dopamine, which is two of the most common forms of levodopa and carbidopa. So levodopa is a sort of an artificial form of L-dopa, which forms into dopamine. Carbidopa helps the body not break it down too soon, so it gets into the brain.
And those are pharmaceutical products.
They are pharmaceutical, and they do help slow down the progression of disease. But the problem is that they can have quite significant side effects, including hallucinations, dizziness, nausea, sleep disorders. And over time, the research has shown that after a number of years, a significant number of people who take it actually make the symptoms worse.
Mm-hmm.
And then they also do give caffeine combination drugs for the motor coordination issues. So what this book is about and the research is about is expanding the conversation. So what is actually going on in the body that is causing this problem, or causative, or part of the reason why it's happening, which is not being looked at the medical community? Because the medical community tends to focus directly on the problem, the symptom, and the drug, and do what they can to try and help it. But Chinese medicine goes back 3,000 years. And we look at the body as unique. Everybody's unique. So if you were to come in with a migraine headaches or stomach issues or something else, even diabetes, and someone else comes in with the same problem, even though the symptoms are the same, the treatment may be totally different. Because what's going on in your body is different from what's going on in the next body. And that's the advantage of sort of alternative medicine, is we take a step back and we say, well, who are you in relationship to this problem? Homeopathy looks at it that way, and also functional medicine now is a growing form of medicine where the doctors are looking at, you know, the underlying causative. They're particularly focused on the gut, which they feel is, when it's out of balance, can be very causative to many of the disease development. And there is also a gut-brain axis. There's a relationship between the two that's very strong. So if the gut is impaired and the flora is out of balance, which there's a lot of reasons where there can be chronic stress, obviously antibiotics kill off flora. So probiotics are very important to take whenever you're taking any antibiotics. And there can be external environmental factors as well. So when I'm going into looking at the underlying causes, I'm looking at, okay, what are the other things, for instance, that we cover in the book that need to be looked at? And if it's not looked at, then you're going to have a limited benefit in terms of how you've been able to help the disease and stabilize it and reduce the progression of it. And also the goal is minimizing medications, because they do have a lot of side effects. So if we can combine the what we call the alternative approach with the medications and minimize it and do the things that are healthy for the brain and body, then I think people will have much better progress in terms of managing their life around Parkinson's. So, yes.
Is CBD helpful?
CBD is helpful. You know, inflammation is one of the areas that I cover quite a bit. Chronic inflammation can cause brain inflammation. Brain inflammation releases, among other things, free radicals all through the body and the brain. Free radicals are molecules that have missing an electron in the outer circle. And it's the electron missing, they will seek out another electron from a healthy cell and pull it. And that will cause that healthy cell to die. So what antioxidants do is they have an extra electron and they will attach to the free radical and neutralize it. And that's why the diet we eat and the amount of stress we're under, in particular that can cause free radical activity, is so critical in terms of brain health and overall health. So we were talking about bringing inflammation down. CBD is helpful. Resveratrol, vitamin D3, curcumin, wonderful. So there's a whole range of herbs and nutrients that can help reduce inflammation. That also, a number of them, cross the blood-brain barrier as well. So it's actually used in the brain. Then we talk about the environment. You know, what are we exposed to in the environment? You know, have we been exposed to metals? You know, like lead and mercury, which are extremely toxic to the brain. And we talk about the blood-brain barrier. So the blood-brain barrier prevents unwanted things from getting to the brain. It could be pathology, there can be bacteria, viruses, mold, as well as metals. And the blood-brain barrier is compromised, then these unwanted materials are going to get into the brain and cause havoc in the brain cells as well. So that's another thing we look at. I look at neurogenesis, fascinating area. They thought that up until the 1990s that the brain cells we were born with were the ones that we died with. But in fact, brain cells are reproduced, recreated all through our life until we die. So there's a broad range of antioxidants covered in the book that show which ones actually nourish and promote neurogenesis, new brain cells that can replace the brain cells that have died. So neurogenesis is really important. I talk about epigenetics. That's a really fascinating area where they thought genetically the genes we were born with was going to determine not only our looks, but the diseases we would have eventually. And they found, in fact, that's not true, that if we were exposed, let's say, in early life to trauma and chronic stress and poor diet and other emotional issues, that actually can affect in which genes turn on and off through life. So, for instance, they did an interesting study on obese rats, and they found they had created a genetic disposition for these rats to be obese, and every generation afterwards was obese. But when it took the latest generation, and they petted them, and they fed them a healthy diet, and they played music, that generation was not only obese, but the next generations were not obese either. So there's some innate intelligence with the body that can, to some extent, control the genes that turn it off that affect disease onset or not. So the environment we're exposed to is very important. I talk about the effect of chronic stress in the society. That's a big problem. We were born to basically, stress was really meant to deal with acute situations. We were being attacked. And then we would, you know, we would rise up to the occasion and deal with the attack, and then we relax and go back to our parasympathetic mode. But the sympathetic mode is where our norepinephrine kicks in. And I'm going to talk about that also, because that's something that's deficient, that also affected in Parkinson's disease and is a critical neurotransmitter. But it's when we need to run or we need to take action, it releases glucose into the cells of the body and the muscles so we can take action. But in chronic stress, we stay in sympathetic mode. And that stress has tremendous damage to the body, because we mentioned it causes free radicals. It also can actually reduce the size of the prefrontal cortex, which has to do with memory and learning as well. And also, it also can affect many aspects of how we function in our lives as well. So that's meditation, yoga, exercise, very important, with our relationships, which are relationships that nourish us, which are ones that don't. Can we kind of remove, if possible, sometimes it's hard with family, those relationships that don't nourish us and cause us a lot of stress, the job that can cause us a lot of stress. What can we do in our lives to make our lives more relaxing?
I could probably add to that, but you'll confirm hydration. Obviously, some people are not
critical.
Hydrated.
You gotta keep, yes, absolutely.
Of course, hydrated. Quality of water to hydrate with. And I would say probably proper breathing, which increases oxygen and many other beneficial effects.
Yeah, well, hydration is really critical. 6 to 8 cups of water a day is a good idea. 4 ounces at a time is ideal, because that's how much our kidneys, when we're not exercising, can process at one time. Because not only does it keep us the whole body lubricated, but it's a way for the body to detoxify. We need to get the poisons out of our body. And some of this is just naturally created when the cells break down.
Are there some toxins that seem to be related to Parkinson's disease?
Many.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about, well, let's talk about diet, because that's really critical. It's another area. So what is a good diet, and what are some of the foods we should avoid that are really toxic? A good diet is basically an alkaline diet as opposed to an acidic diet. And you can Google acidic versus alkaline. There are some good charts that will show you that. But an alkaline diet is an anti-inflammatory diet. And it's basically green leafy vegetables, salads. Even lemon is actually alkaline, treated as alkaline. So you have lemon juice. And what is very acidic are dairy products, meats, carbohydrates, particularly refined carbohydrates. There's some carbohydrates that are neutral. Again, you can look at the chart for what those are. Quinoa would be one of them. But we tend to have a very acidic diet, which I think leads to a lot of the chronic autoimmune diseases going on and brain diseases right now. So let's go into what we shouldn't be eating. We should be really avoiding white foods. So that would be white rice, white pasta, you know, all the sugars, all the refined carbohydrates we should be avoiding completely, which leads me to sugar. So we need glucose in the brain for the brain cells to function. That's part of the nourishment they get. When we have excess sugar, we can have too much sugar, both in the body and the brain, and that can cause brain cell death. Obviously, also obesity and diabetes, which is also can feed all sorts of health issues. So, and then I wanted to get into aspartame and the artificial sweeteners. Deadly, terrible stuff, okay? And what they do, if you have like aspartame or other artificial sweeteners, they actually produce phenylalanine and aspartic acid and methanol. And they found that phenylalanine, which normally is good for the body because it helps, it's part of the process of producing dopamine in the body. But when it's matched up with aspartic acid from, it actually interferes with the transport of dopamine and serotonin in the body. So the body's not able to move it along. The other thing it causes is cellular excitability in the brain. So it actually kills neurons and astrocytes. Astrocytes are the cells found in greatest concentration in the central nervous system and in all through the brain. And they have, they're critical for synapse, which is the way neurotransmission, the way neurons communicate with each other. So if they break down, that's less communication and mental ability going on. They also have to do with brain plasticity. It also helps with supporting the health of the blood-brain barrier, of which, by the way, Basalin and the B vitamins also help support the health of the blood-brain barrier. So that's, so you want to avoid high sugars, most sugars actually, any artificial sweeteners, fried foods, terrible. So it increases reactive oxygen species, which is a very toxic form of free radicals in the brain. Again, free radicals will kill off healthy cells in the brain. It also increases the aggregation of protein in the brain. Remember we talked about alpha-synuclein, the aggregation of alpha-synuclein and the folding, and that destroys dopaminergic cells, which produce dopamine in the brain. So it actually increases the amount of protein aggregation in the brain. So that's not good. And also proteolysis is the way the body breaks down unneeded or damaged protein. It also affects that. So you have these damaged proteins and unwanted proteins, waste, that does not get removed. We talked about detoxification before, right? Drinking, breathing helps detoxify, exercise helps detoxify, glutathione and alpha-lipoic acid are excellent detoxifiers in the body. So that's another variable that needs to be looked at. Then fruits and vegetables in cans, toxic. Yeah, BPA, which is released in from the aluminum, the can, and also is very toxic. It's actually an endocrine conductor, so it leads to obesity, oddly enough. And also it affects the electronic communication in the brain and the body as well. And then low amounts of beef and high amounts of beef and dairy have been found to significantly increase the likelihood of Parkinson's disease. And beef has alpha-synuclein, and so maybe has to do with that. It may be that people may be not eating free-range meats or organic dairy, so you're getting the pesticides and other...
The hormones and...
Hormones.
And the antibiotics.
And then the polychlorinated biphenyls in the dairy. You know, so these are things that we don't know for sure, but we know that the research shows that it increased the risk significantly. So, you know, we're sort of trying to identify maybe what's in there that could be causative of that.
I'd like to just run through for our audience the table of content of your book here. So there's an introduction about Parkinson's disease. What is Parkinson's? Pathogenesis, causes and contributing factors, diseases that mimic Parkinson's disease, traditional treatment, diagnosis, diet, helpful nutrients and foods, food, behavior, herbs, and nutrients that influence Parkinson's, essential oils, types of exercise, light exposure, Chinese medicine and acupuncture, four glutathione therapy, or IV, sorry, not four. Future treatments, stem cell therapies, and then you have an appendix with supplement formulas, recommended websites for daily living advice, Parkinson's and visions, and how those two are related. So carry on. I just wanted people to get an idea of the content.
Thank you. I also want to mention before I forget that there are deficiencies of certain nutrients that when they're lacking in the body can actually mimic Parkinson's disease. So unless those nutrients are looked at, people may be being treated for Parkinson's that don't have it.
Misdiagnosis.
Yeah, that includes many of the B vitamins, vitamin D, vitamin E, magnesium, zinc, selenium, vitamin D3. These can actually mimic Parkinson's. So all those should be checked, whether it's blood work or whatever, first, and seen if those are deficient and treated before, you know, one should be looking at treating Parkinson's with medications. There's also, they found that there are specific nutrients that are deficient in the brains of people with Parkinson's. So again, that's affecting how well the neurons are functioning and surviving. So we mentioned glutathione before as being critical, but also DHA and PQQ, for instance, is pyriloquinone-quinolone, which helps with circulation to the brain and is also deficient in the brain as well.
Is that made in a supplement form? I'm not familiar with that one.
Yes, you can get it in supplement form. And it's also in soy and some beans and green leafy vegetables. So, yeah, you can get it through some food as well. But, yes, I take it. It's one of the key supplements I take every day.
So are legumes generally good?
I'm sorry, what's that?
Legumes, like beans,
you know,
other types. Of
sure. Great form of protein as well. And have a lot of minerals in it. Yeah.
Very particular ones that you recommend?
Really, anyone. You know, you have kidney beans, you have black beans, you have lentil beans.
Beans. Yeah, there's a whole.
Yeah, any of those are fine. Okay. Any combination.
And what is the theory behind Chinese medicine and how it can help Parkinson's disease?
So Chinese medicine, it's a map of the body, okay? And from 3,000 years ago, when they didn't have blood tests and all sorts of ways to test out what was going on in the body, they had to stand back and observe what was going on in the body and found that certain points stimulated different actions. And those are the acupuncture points. And they run along lines called meridians. And there's 71 meridians in the body. It's the same map for everybody. Most acupuncturists, there are 20 meridians that are most commonly used. And as you get into some of the other meridians, they get more, you still there?
I'm just sharing the website.
Great. Thank you. They get more esoteric. And so all these meridians have different functions for how they help in the body. And the map is that when these meridians are deficient or they're out of balance, what happens ultimately is pain and disease. And each meridian drives what different conditions may result from that. So the meridians that are most relevant for brain health is the spleen meridian, which runs again from the toes up to the chest. The kidney meridian, also from the toes up to the chest. There's a kidney, spleen, liver is very important. That has to do with the free flow of nutrients and energy throughout the whole body. And then there's another meridian that is very interesting, the governing vessel, that runs from the coccyx over the top of the head and down. And that's actually one of the key meridians because there are points along the head and the back of the neck that stimulate brain function and can be very helpful, again, for helping stimulate neurogenesis and memory. These meridians can help reduce tremors and motor coordination issues, can help potentially reduce depression, anxiety, and other emotional issues associated with Parkinson's as well. So again, it's a whole body approach to look at what's going on in the body related to whatever condition the person needs help with, and taking a step back. And through tongue analysis, we do a pulse analysis, observation, color, personality is, we have something called five element, and we all have certain personalities that when they're out of balance can contribute to health issues. I'll mention one, for instance, the liver and paired organ is the gallbladder, yin and yang organs. And the liver is mostly associated with the type A personality. So those are often our lawyers and our CEOs and the people that are very driven and also very successful. And when anger is in balance, then that nourishes that person and incents them to have ambition and get a lot done. When it's out of balance, it can cause a lot of heat in the body and can cause migraine headaches, for instance, can cause glaucoma, can cause serious digestive issues. Again, digestive issues related to brain health. So part of Chinese medicine is to look at that aspect also and see if that may be out of balance related to that person too.
So if people can, obviously people are not too far from you. You're based in New York City, I believe?
I'm in Yonkers, outside of New York City.
Okay, so people can consult you for acupuncture treatments and everything else we've talked about.
Sure, absolutely.
And just a reminder, the website is naturaleyecare.com. And I'll show you some of the offers he has in a minute. I have a question, though, about the IV glutathione. Is that something that can be administered by a non-conventional medicine doctor?
Chiropractors, naturopaths, yes. People with a medical license or healthcare license can administer it. And that's been very successful in helping people reduce the motor issues, coordination issues, and tremors. So something I think that many people should consider. And then I want to also talk about IV, about light therapy.
Sure.
And I'm not sure that that's really been done that much, but they did a study that people exposed for an hour a day of 1,000 to 1,500 lux, which is also used in seasonal disorder dysfunction, that after 2 weeks, they found that medication can be reduced from 13 to 100%.
Okay. That's significant.
Significant. So then why isn't that part of every single protocol? And then we can talk about, we didn't talk about essential oils. So yes. they're very helpful for many of the symptoms associated with Parkinson's. So we have frankincense, for instance, that can help reduce depression. And it'll help with motor coordination. We have vetiver, which helps reduce tremors. We have a whole bunch of really good essential oils like bergamot or lavender, for instance, or lemon balm that can help reduce the symptoms associated. Some of them related, again, to depression, anxiety, sleeping disorders, mood disorders, social functioning. And these can be applied. Often they come with another oil, a carrier oil, and they can apply it on forehead, they can apply it on the temples, different parts of the body, the feet and the hands. They can be in the disperser. They can be dispersed in the air. They can be put in, drops can put in a bath. So there are many ways to apply essential oils, but they can also be extremely helpful for managing symptoms.
And I think what I'm going to show, we'll share a little bit of the website here and your offer. I believe you've got a sale going on the book right now. Anybody can see that book? I don't know if you can see that.
The book is $19.95. We do, if you order through the website, this website was charged $3, but we give a $3 discount. So then the shipping is free domestically. There may be a small shipping charge outside the country. You can also get on Amazon where there's free shipping as well. So those are two options. There's also a book is also available as an ebook. It's also available in Kindle form as well.
And we've also got a package with some supplements here. You want to tell us about that?
Yes. So what I did was I looked at the most critical nutrients. We didn't talk about DHA and fish oil and some of the other ones. There's a number of them that are ashwagandha and lutein and zeaxanthin. We mentioned resveratrol. There's a number of them that are critical for brain functioning, would have good research behind it. And since I covered over 50 of them, what I did was to look at other companies that are reputable, that have formulas that carry a broad range of these nutrients. And that's what the packages are. You don't have to get them from us. You can maybe find some of these elsewhere as well. You don't have to get the package. You can get things individually. That's up to you. But I wanted to put it out there that say that there are good formulas out there that combine a lot of these essential nutrients that can be taken in just a few formulas.
And I presume the ones you've selected here are ones you think the quality of the ingredients is relatively high.
Yes, and cover a broad spectrum of the research that is discussed in the book. It's like the research peer review research citations.
So that includes, you want to mention the supplements that it includes?
Sure. The Cognarev is a spray that goes in the mouth and has about 20 different nutrients, some of which you discussed, some which we have not. The Oceans 3 has the omega-3 fatty acids in it. We didn't discuss some of the critical mushrooms that's in these formulas, like lion's mane and reishi and shiitake. And those also can help with neurogenesis, new brain, and protecting brain neurons. Skullcap, two of the most important nutrients is Basalin and Bacopa monnieri. They can help reduce, along with PQQ and exercise, can help reduce the buildup of the alpha-synuclein aggregation. And that's in these formulas as well. The skullcap contains a high amount of Basalin. Ginseng is considered an adaptogen, which means it can help balance out the immune system. And it is also crosses a lot of the essential benefits mentioned in the different categories mentioned in the book. The Advanced Diabetes Support Formula is our formula. It's a whole food organic GMO-free formula. It has the lutein and zeaxanthin that crosses the blood-brain barrier. Again, critical for retinal health as well as brain health, potent antioxidants. It also has organic spinach, broccoli, tomato, chlorella, and prickly pear. In the second package, I added a stem cell package. So the body does have adult stem cells throughout it, and the idea is that the body will, where there is cellular loss, the body will try and send the stem cells to that part of the body, and the stem cells can convert to cells that are lost. So that was an idea to try and stimulate a more dense stem cell activity, which may possibly help replace some of the lost cells in the brain as well. But again, neurogenesis does that too. And there's about 20 different nutrients that help do that.
Excellent. And I imagine the nasal spray is good because there's a quick absorption into the bloodstream there.
Not nasal, sorry, oral sprays.
Oh, sorry, oral.
So that is a quick way.
Yeah, so then I imagine you just try to keep it under your tongue, a bit like homeopathic medicine.
You switch it around for 20, 30 seconds and swallow it, right?
Yeah. Okay.
Exactly.
Excellent. What else would you like to share with us about this topic?
Well, I'm really excited about this because I'm trying to really expand the conversation about looking at people as unique individuals and what else around that, what we're exposed to, how we eat, how we think, and what other health conditions actually can also mimic Parkinson's that need to be looked at. Because again, you don't want to be treating Parkinson's if it's not Parkinson's, and sort of take a step back, and hopefully the medical community will be more like functional medicine and take a step back and look at other causative factors that need to be addressed if we're really going to try and treat Parkinson's also in a much healthier way. And that's what this is all about. And that's what my next book is all about for Alzheimer's and dementia as well, which that one book has over 3,000 studies in it, research citations in it.
So you'll be sending this book to every allopathic practitioner in the U.S.
No, I'm just kidding. No, because, you
it
know.
It will be good for well, them to read know, it. But hopefully they'll have the initiative to read it.
We'll see. I mean, what I tell people, and, you know, I'm doing consultations on natural vision every day with people on how to keep their eyes healthy and retina, optic nerve, whatever their issues are. And what I tell people is that, you know, doctors are doing their best. They care. They're trying to help. But the medical model is really about, you know, finding a symptom, dealing with it with drugs or surgery, and, you know, trying to help as much as they can that way. But again, Chinese medicine, it doesn't take a step back and say, who is this person related to this disease and what could be other causative factors? I'm just trying to broaden the conversation, and I hope doctors will pick up on it. I was talking with some people at the Michael J. Fox Foundation, and they're actually starting to move somewhat in that direction as well and doing some conferences around it. So that's very exciting to me.
Excellent. Anything else, or should we share your coordinates?
Yeah, no, I think we covered a lot. It was probably a lot to take in at one time.
Very thorough.
And I appreciate this. Thank you for the interview. And, you know, people are more than welcome to call me or email me anytime, whether they have eye issues, or want to talk about Parkinson's or Alzheimer's, and any way I can help. It's, you know, happy to discuss with them. There's no charge at all for the phone consultations or email consultations. It's part of what I want to give back to the community.
Well, that's very kind of you. So the website is naturaleyecare.com, all in one word. And the phone number, we can give out the phone number, Michael?
Absolutely.
845-475-4158, and that's, of course, in the U.S., 845-475-4158. That's in Eastern Time Zone, New York. Any other coordinate you want to share your email address?
Sure. Info, at naturaleyecare.com.
Excellent. And if they go to your website, they can find the book under the shop. They click on the shop or the front or the bottom of the.
Yeah, lower half of the homepage.
Homepage as well. It's there.
And they can also view the table of contents in the introduction as well.
Okay, where is that found?
You click on the book image.
Right.
You'll get to those links.
Okay, excellent. Well, thanks a lot for coming on the show. It's been very enlightening, and I've learned a lot, and I hope our audience have, and they know where to contact you if they want to look into it further. Thanks a million for sharing that and doing all that research, which I'm sure will benefit thousands of people across the world. So hopefully we'll have you back on when your next book is ready.
I would love to.
In the meantime, I wish you all the best with your ventures and adventures, and we'll look forward to having you on in your next book.
And thanks also for all the good work you're doing out there. It's great.
Thank you. Much appreciated. Okay. Take care. All the best.
Bye.
Bye-bye. So, ladies and gentlemen, that was our guest, Michael Edson, and again, his website is naturaleyecare.com. And we would like to thank our show sponsor, Community Marketing Communications, specialists in the wellness world, alternative medicine, and personal growth for strategic marketing, planning, websites, and many other things. We'd like to thank our show technician, the one and only Donald Newsom. Send your prayers out for him. He's got a bit of a bad cold right now. And if you'd like to sponsor the show or advertise during the show, get some great exposure within the wellness community, please contact us for more information on our packages. If you wish to be interviewed as well, so you can contact me directly, Raymond Morris, at 514-798-2737, or email me at raymond@bbsradio.com. My Skype username, if you wish to communicate by Skype, is Raymond Morris, all in one word. And may the grace and the blessings of the Divine Creator be bestowed upon each and every one of you and your loved ones. Your host, Raymond Morris. Till next time, all the best.